Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
Take your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Give me a prayer for Brother Crawford and Miss Tanya. You're out sick. Are they not? I think they're sick of the staff, so we got a staff infection. Be here all week. Yeah. I did. I've been practicing that one. So do be in prayer for them. I don't mean to make light of them being sick, but be in prayer for them if you would. But sometimes I'm half glad that he's sick because I can preach. So I pray for his healing just after tonight. And take your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to preach on a very simple thought today. Is being a has-been. A has-been. And we'll talk about that, and it's not going to be the way that you probably think. There's a good way to be a has-been, and there's a bad way to be a has-been. And I want to be a good has-been. And we'll talk about that. We'll look at the life of Paul this morning. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13. We'll begin there, and we'll read to verse 16. The Bible says, verse 13, "For ye have heard of my conversation in times past." Now, when he says the word conversation, anytime you see the word conversation normally in the Bible, it's talking about your mannerism of life. It's the testimony that you've seen. It's not necessarily a conversation like we would have today, just vocally, but it's a testimony, it's a mannerism of life. And so he says, "You've heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." That just meaning destroyed it, basically. Wasted it, destroyed it. And he says, "And profited in the Jews' religion above many, my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred with flesh and blood." Can you imagine the thought of, if you knew when he was Saul of Tarsus, you would have thought one day he's going to be a missionary to the Gentile people. That would be a far-fetched thought, wouldn't it? Now, I believe if you went into Jerusalem and during the time when he was actually considered to be a Saul of Tarsus, is that if you went into the church there in Jerusalem and said, the guy who's been persecuting this church and who has been, really, the Bible even uses the word wreaking havoc upon the church, he's going to be a missionary and he's going to go to the Gentile people. They would have said, yeah, right. Sure he would. Matter of fact, we even see in the story that when Paul goes to Jerusalem, that they didn't want to receive him because Ananias had to go with him. Because why? Because they were like, this guy's here to kill us. But yet, he was a changed man. And I want to preach just very simply today. Simple thought is, Paul was a has-been. He had been lost, but now he's saved. He had wreaked havoc on the church, but now he's going to be a missionary for the churches there of the Gentile people. So let's pray, and then we'll get into the message this morning. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. God, I certainly don't deserve to stand before these folks and to open up your word. And so, Lord, I'm relying on your Holy Spirit this morning to speak through me. And Lord, that I'm only worthy because of what he will say today and what he would do. And God, I totally yield myself to your will, to your way, and to the Holy Spirit, and asking you to use me just as a vessel this morning. And God, I pray for those that are here this morning that, Lord, need to be saved. And Lord, I'm praying for those also who, Lord, just need to step out by faith and do what you have called them to do. Lord, I ask that you'd help me now. God, give us power and give us clarity of thought. And Lord, for the next few moments, Lord, may you take any interruptions away from this auditorium, and Lord, and give us just clarity upon your word. Lord, we love you today. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at Paul's life, there's two things I want to give you kind of as an introductory into Paul's life and talking about his testimony. Number one, we know that he was a persecutor of the church. We see that there in verse 13, that he was a persecutor of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, before Paul got saved in Acts chapter 9, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, here's what it says. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committing them to prison. So anybody that he found that they were a Christian, they were a part of the church there, is that he was hauling them off and having them put into prison. We also know that even Saul was there on the day that Stephen was stoned to death. We know that the clothes of Stephen were laid at his feet. So some say maybe he was even the one who called for that execution upon Stephen's life. Why was he persecuting the church of God? Because he was working for the wrong team. Listen, you're either on God's team or you're on the devil's team. There's no intermediate team that's in the middle. You're either working for God or you're not. I know people don't like to hear that. Well, I'm a good person. Or I could straddle the fence. Yeah, you can't straddle that fence either. There's no fences in the Bible other than you're on one side that's lost or you're on one side that's saved. And we sugarcoat stuff today because we're politically correct. Amen. We want to tell people they're pretty when they're not. I'm glad when somebody looked down in my crib one day and said, God help him. Right? I'm glad somebody prayed for me. It didn't work, but they still prayed. But listen, we live in a world today where it's either right or it's wrong. You're either lost or you're saved. There's no middle ground. There's nobody in this world that's a good person and going to get to heaven. And God's going to put good on this side and bad on this side. And if it tilts to the good side, you get in. That's not how it goes. Why? Because the rule book says it don't. That is not the way. There's one way to heaven, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what happened here is that Paul was on the other team. He was on the team of Satan persecuting the church. He was on the team that was wreaking havoc of the churches. He was taking these people that were serving in the churches and putting them into prisons and committing them to judgment. But here's the thing. Jesus interfered in his life. He was a persecutor of the churches. The second thing we see that he was a powerful Jew. We see that in verse 14. He says that he profited. In other words, not just profited monetarily speaking, but wisdom. He had the wisdom of the knowledge of the law. He knew the law inside and out. Apparently, after Gamaliel teaching him and all these things that he had learned from the Jewish faith, and he was a very powerful man because of what he knew, because of the authority that he was given to by the Jews. Listen, I believe this with all my heart, that if Paul snapped his finger, it happened. He was a powerful man. He must have been one of the high authorities of the Jewish band. In chapter 6 and 7 of the book of Acts, we kind of see that in the shadows there. But let me say this, is that Paul is a has-been. He had been lost, but now he's saved. Paul had wreaked havoc, but now he is not. He was a has-been. Now, you shouldn't be a has-been if you're saved and you've been serving and you quit serving. That's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about you once was lost, but now you're found. You were blind, but now you see. You've crossed over from the dark side into the light. And I was not referencing the Star Wars. You're now living a life that Jesus Christ paid and bought for. Jesus Christ gave His life for you. I want to prove to you three things this morning of Paul being a has-been. We see that through Paul's testimony that he gives in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, he's just stating who he is. Matter of fact, he's telling them, I am an apostle, I am of the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he talks about the gospel that he had given was not the gospel of man, that it was the gospel that he had got from revelation of God, because he said that if you have another gospel, it's not another gospel. And so he's stating who he is. He is telling the churches of Galatia that were around about that area of Galatia that here I am. I am the Apostle Paul, and I want to give you my testimony. Sometimes the most powerful tool you have other than the Word of God is the testimony that you have. I'm glad today, I was telling somebody the other day, I'm glad that that on this screen my old life doesn't come down and show you what I once was. I'm talking about the ins and outs, not just the outward things that you could see. By the way, aren't some of us glad there was no cell phones when we were young? Cameras everywhere. I probably wouldn't be here today, right? I'd probably be going, let me out. Right? Or something. But I'm telling you what is that God knows our life. God knows what we are. And I want to be a has-been. I want to be a has-been lost. I want to be a has-been didn't serve, and now I'm serving God. Let me give you three things this morning. Number one, I want to show you that because of his life being a has-been, his testimony was this. Number one, he is proof that God can save anyone. Paul's life is proof that God can save anybody. I've heard this. Me and my wife had a lady that we knew that she would always tell us, God can't save me. I've done too many things in my life. I'd show her scripture and she still would say, well, I just think that I've done some things in my life that God can never forgive. Let me tell you, there's not one thing in your life that God will not forgive. And let me say this, if you're lost today, God's not looking at all those sins that you've committed. He's looking at one sin you committed. That was being born a sinner. You were born a sinner just like I was. You was born into the depths of hell. And as the psalmist said, that he lifted us up out of the miry clay, out of that horrible pit. He lifted me up and set my feet on a rock. He picked us all up out of the same mire. I know we sing the song, when he reached way down and, you know, and lifted me out. He had to reach just as far for me as he did for Paul. Because why? We were all under condemnation. We were all underneath the wrath of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ reached through and grabbed my hand and pulled me out. Paul is proof that God can save anybody. If you will, turn over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, I want you to look at a few things this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want you to look at a few things this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. I want you to notice what Paul says about himself here. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. The Bible says, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry." Who was, notice what he's going to say about himself again before Timothy. He says, who was before a blasphemer. That means that he was against God, right? In its full extent. And notice what he says, and a persecutor, and an injurious. That word means causing injury, right? Causing injury upon one. Notice what else he says, but I obtain mercy. Because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. Paul said, I did those things because I was lost. See, we do things ignorantly before we're saved. Because why? We're all born lost. Sometimes we look at the world and we go, how in the world can they do that? Well, it's because they're lost. They have not the knowledge of God. They have not the Word of God and the Spirit of God in their life. And they do those things because that's all they know to do. You realize lost people don't know how to do right. All they know is wrong. You say, well, I know some lost people that are pretty good people. I do too, but they still are lost. And in the end, they can do nothing that is eternal in value. Notice what he says here in verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Notice who he is. Paul says, of whom I am chief. Paul says, if there was a tribe of sinners, guess who I am? I'm the chief. If Paul was chief, and Paul was one of the most effective missionaries that we've ever had on the face of this earth other than Jesus Christ. He was the most powerful man who started more churches and more people were saved underneath his ministry. And here he goes and he says, look, if there's a chief of the tribe of sinners, guess who is chief? That's me. And it's proven to us that what? That if anybody can be saved, that anybody can be saved. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 19 verse 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Who can he save? Well, Acts chapter 2 verse 21 says, and it came to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 1 Timothy 2, 4 says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Jesus Christ wants to seek and to save that which is lost, and that he will save a whosoever will. I'm glad he will. I was the whosoever will. 16-year-old boy. I didn't know, I thought I knew everything, right? But I didn't know the one thing that I needed to know and the one person I needed to know, and that was the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ. Little church in Enon, Florida, have you heard this story? It's a little speck on the Florida-Alabama line. I knelt down at this side of the altar and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior during a revival meeting. And can I say that since that time I've been a had-been. I had been lost, but now I'm saved. Because why? Jesus said whosoever, and I became a whosoever when He showed me that I could be a whosoever, and that He showed me who He was and what He came to do. And listen, through the testimony of Paul, we can see this morning that Jesus is able to save anyone. You say, could He have saved Hitler? Check. Could He have saved Saddam Hussein? Check. Could He save anybody? Yes, He can save anybody. Number two, I want to give you the proof that God can use anyone. Not only can He save anyone, but second of all, that He can use anyone. You see it here in this chapter, back in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. He says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach among the heathen." Paul said, look, I got saved. And God called me to preach. Why could God, how could God use somebody who used to murder the Christians? Used to put them in prison? It's because of a thing called erasing. You say, what do you mean? You see, we have whiteboards all over this building because we have a school here. You write on that whiteboard and you take that eraser and you erase it off. Is it really gone? I can still read what I put on there last week, right? Some of you are not getting this, I can tell. Chalkboard. I'll go back to the chalkboard. I'm getting all generations here. I remember chalkboard era, right? The best thing that you ever got to do as a child in school was to go outside and dust the erasers, right? Why was that? You got to make a mess and you got out of class. But even though you would take that eraser and you would erase it, you would still see where the writing was. But can I say, when Jesus saves me and you, and when He plunges us underneath that flood of Jesus' blood, is that it's clear. There's no leftover writing that He erased over. It's all gone. So when Jesus Christ saves you, it is as if you are justified, being just as if you never sinned. That's how God can use any one of us. Because when we get saved, it's just as if we never sinned. In other words, it's just as if we didn't have a past. God can use anybody. I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to give you a list of people in the Bible. Abraham, God used him. What was wrong with him? He was old. You say, well, I don't appreciate that. You know how many people down through my ministry say, well, I would do something, Pastor, but I'm just too old. And I want to go, no. When you get 100 years old, you can come and talk to me. But until then, you can serve the Lord. Elijah, you say, what was wrong with him? You ever thought about this? He was suicidal. Really, he wanted the Lord to take his life. You think about Joseph. He was abused, but God used him. He was put aside. His brothers beat him and sold him into slavery. He was abused, but God still used him. Job went bankrupt, but God used him. Listen, he went bankrupt the right way. You think of Moses. Moses had a speech problem. I'm taking away everybody's excuses this morning. Gideon was afraid. Well, preacher, I would do that, but I'm just afraid. Samson, he was a womanizer. Fell asleep in the wrong lap. Woke up with no hair. Guys, be careful. Listen, I'm just going to give them to you. Rahab was a prostitute. God used her greatly. Matter of fact, she's in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. The Samaritan woman was divorced. I come from a divorced family, not me and my wife. We're not divorced, but my parents divorced when I was young. And can I say God can still use you? Don't throw your life away just because you got divorced and remarried. I understand there's maybe some things you can't do in the ministry, but there are more things you can do than you can't do. Listen, Noah was a drunk at the end of his life, and God still used him. Jeremiah, what was wrong with him? He was too young. Well, preacher, I'm going to wait and serve God later when I get older. Listen, God can use you today. Jacob was a cheater. David was a murderer and adulterer. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Peter denied the Lord three times. Martha worried about everything. Zacchaeus was too short and he was money hungry. Seems like I should put Michael Wiggins there. The disciples fell asleep when the Lord was praying. They had different, I could give you instance after instance, but can I say that when you look at the life of Paul, one who used to persecute the church of God, one who used to, not just write emails and Facebook ads on Facebook that we hate the church. Paul went after them. Paul went after him and put him in prison, and Paul was persecuting the church. And there's no doubt that Paul probably called for the execution of people. And listen, God used him. And if God can use him, he can use anybody here today. You have an excuse? Listen, get in the Bible, it'll take it away. I'm telling you, I saw, some of y'all saw this probably on Facebook. There was a man vacuuming the church in a wheelchair. Y'all remember that? It was a few months ago. Man was in a wheelchair, and literally he was the janitor of the church. And it said, "What's your excuse?" My grandfather, I lost his leg later in life, and my grandfather got saved later in life. And he had lost his leg due to a blood clot. He was one of the just a servant in the church that he went to, and he was an usher and different things like that. And when he lost his leg, my grandfather never missed a beat. You know what he was? He held the door open for everybody. He'd park his wheelchair right in front of everybody and shake everybody's hands. They went into church in a wheelchair. Listen, there's no excuse for not serving the Lord. Listen, maybe God's not calling you to preach, be a missionary. Maybe God's not doing those things. But maybe God's just wants you to get involved. The more you get involved in this church, the more you invest in it, the more you'll want to be here. Because you got, they always say, skin in the game. And listen, this church needs more servants. And by the way, we're blessed with servants. I'm not up here begging for service today, but I am saying that you ought to serve Him because you love Him. And there's always places to serve. We always need people in children's church and master clubs and Sunday school and those places. But listen, we need people just to be friendly too. People to take the staff out to eat. Those people, God bless you. Well, yeah, not enough of those, I'm telling you. You know, just people that love to give gift cards away. Whoever you may be, I love Home Depot, if you need to know. No. Yeah, that's for Jesus. But listen, we all can find a place to serve. I think sometimes we don't serve because of some things, and I do know that, is that. But I want to tell you, is that maybe some people feel they're not worthy. Maybe some people feel that, you know, whatever the case may be. But can I say that God can use you? God truly can use you today. And God can use anybody. You know why? Because the Lord loves you. Abraham, Elijah, Joseph, all those, God chose to use them. Here Paul was, that he was, matter of fact, in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, he said that God allowed him to be put in trust with the gospel. Paul, the murderer, the one who brought accusations against the church. Matter of fact, he was Satan's soldier. And yet God saved him, forgave him, and used him. God can use you today. Let me encourage you to find a place that you can get in. But let me give you the last thing. When you look at Paul's life, not only do you see that God can save anybody, that God can use anybody, but let me give you the last thing, is proof that God's grace truly is sufficient. See, Paul couldn't have done anything without the grace of God. He even says it here in our chapter. We read that he talks about the grace of God, and one key word that Paul uses all throughout his writings, y'all to look at it, is grace. Most of his books start with the word grace and end with the word grace. You know why? Because he understood what grace was. That grace was that enablement to be able to serve God. That God was giving us what we don't deserve. Listen, you may feel that you're not worthy. You may think that you can't. You may think that you'll fail. You may see, it may look like it's so hard. But listen, depend upon the grace of God. You know what the grace of God does? The grace of God, when it's in our life, and it really is so hard to think of our life without grace, because God enables us to do that which we think we can't do. Because we're saved by grace, and we serve by grace, and one day we'll be graduated by grace. The grace of God in our life. We see that, and you know this verse very well, 2 Corinthians 12:9. Here's what Paul said, or what was said in Paul's answer to the Lord. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If you read that verse, Jesus said that my grace, Paul, is sufficient for thee. Listen, Paul went through a lot, didn't he? You read over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, toward the end of the chapter there, Paul says, I was shipwrecked, I was beaten. All these things that happened in Paul's life. But Paul said, all those things happened and God's grace was sufficient for me. Listen, this morning, you may step out and say, I'm going to serve God. And listen, even me and Brother Leopard were talking about a certain family this morning. I can't tell you this morning why it seems that when some people are servants of God, that they live in the valley. There's just people that it just seems like they're having a hard time. But they just keep serving. They keep having a great attitude, and they just keep going, and they keep going, and they keep going. You say, my soul, how are they doing that? And then I'm reminded, God's grace is sufficient for them. How do you get grace? Well, James tells us that he giveth grace unto the humble. That if you humble yourself, God gives us grace. And God gives us that enablement, that ability to be able to do what He's called us to do. Listen this morning, whoever you are, God can save you. God will save you. And that God can use you. And through your life is that there will be a testimony of the grace of God that is sufficient. I know preachers who have been in the ministry a long time, and man, it just seems like they've gone through heartache after heartache after heartache. And as an outsider, I look at it and go, wow, how do they do that? Then I'm reminded they have the grace of God. Listen, some of you may be going through that valley right now. You ever get in those valleys and you just think, how am I going to get out of here? I'm not going to say any names for the protection of my friends. There are certain friends that I ride four-wheelers with. I'm not going to give their names. But let's just say that we went four-wheeler riding before, and one thing we always say, I think we can do it. Then you get into it, and you realize, how in the world are we going to get out of here? You spend an hour trying to move a four-wheeler, because you're stuck in a place where you probably shouldn't have been in the first place. You ever feel like that in your Christian life? You ever feel like, I think we can do it. You get into it and it's like, boom, 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 boom. I don't think we can do it. Right? It's kind of like when that muffler gets underneath the water. Blah, 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 blah. But you let off that throttle, guess what? You're done. Don't let off the throttle. Why? Because help's on the way. That grace will come right when you need it. Amen. I've given this illustration 100 times, but I'm going to give it again. When we had Bailey, found out Bailey was, you know, different. Of course, we found out that I'm different. My wife's different. Shelby's different. Brody's really different. But she's handicapped. We use that term. And I remember telling my wife, we always had goal markers in our life. Boy, if she gets this part, I can't handle it no more. then we get to that point in our life.
Amen.
Grace would come. Amen. All right, we can handle that. We get to this point, and my wife can tell you, I said, when we get to this milestone in her life, Daddy's done. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. We got to that point. I'm not going to say that I ever don't gag. Right? I mean, I'm just being truthful with you guys. But I'm saying that God has given us grace every time.
Amen.
I can remember thinking, Lord, my kids, when they're young, man, this is... But when they get to be this age, oh, what are we going to do? Then you get to that age, you go, oh, I like this age. Better than I like the other age. You know what? A friend of mine told me a long time ago, he said, God will never give you grace for the future. God will always give you grace for the present. You know why? Because sometimes we can look ahead in our life. Like I can look beyond in Bailey's life. Bailey's never going to be a person who can take care of herself. And me and Donnie sit around and go, you know, when we get older, what are we going to do? Well, we know what we're going to do. We're going to give her to Shelby. And we're going on a cruise. When Shelby gets tired of her, here you go, Brody. She's yours. No, I'm telling you, you look too far ahead at things and you go, I'll never be able to do that. But just know that God's grace will be sufficient when the time comes. I'm done this morning, but I want to say that I'm glad I'm a has-been. I'm glad that at the age of 16, I become a has-been for the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember when the Lord called me into the ministry, and I remember God dealing with my heart, and I'm going, I fought that thing, I fought it. The Lord was just convicting me. Wiggins, I want you in the ministry. He calls me Wiggins, too. And Wiggins, I want you in the ministry. Except for whenever I've done something wrong, then he calls me by my first and middle name. And I remember going, Lord, there's no way that I could ever stand in front of people. I am an introvert. I like caves. I always told my wife I wanted to be a minister to the igloo, Eskimos of the igloos, because there's only like four. I might could deal with that, right? Then you go, well, it's too cold. Never mind. But look where God's brought me from.
Amen.
God's grace, people. I went to seminary. Yeah, I've done this. But I'm telling you what, it don't matter what you go through. It's got to be God's enabling grace to help you.
Amen.
And I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the valley maybe you're going through. I can't imagine what some of you go through. But I can tell you this, that God's grace is sufficient.
Amen.
Maybe there's somebody here this morning saying, I wonder if God could use me today. I have a scarred past. He can use you. There's a place for you. You say, I'm here this morning, I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. But all the things I've done in my life, God could never forgive me. He can, and He will. You say, well, what do I do? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You trust in what Jesus Christ did for you. He died on an old rugged cross for your sins, put the wrath of God totally upon Him. He was crucified, He was buried. But on the third day, Jesus Christ became a has-been. He had been dead, but now He's alive.
Amen.
This morning you can be a has-been. You had been dead, now you're alive.
Amen.
And you hath He quickened. You can be made alive today through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're that person that's lost this morning, we're going to have people down here with the Bible. We don't embarrass nobody at this church. We're not going to bring you up stage and all these things, but privately we'll deal with you and we'll show you through this right here. Not our opinion, but we'll show you what the Word of God says, how you can be saved this morning, how you can know that you have an eternal home. Maybe you're here this morning and you just want to give your life over to the Lord. Listen, just surrender to Him. He'll do what's best for your life. Don't go, Lord, I'll surrender to this. Or, Lord, I'll do this, but I'm not doing that. Be careful. You know what I said? Lord, I'll do anything but preach. Look at where I am. I also told the Lord in 2001, Lord, I'm never going back to Texas. I've been back here ever since. Don't tell the Lord what you won't do. Tell the Lord whatever you want me to do. Let's stand this morning, heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to pray, and then we'll have a time of the invitation. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day. Lord, thank you for your blessings. Lord, this morning, thank you for the testimony of Paul. Lord, thank you that you made him a has-been. Lord, that you changed his life. And Lord, I'm thinking of how you changed my life. Lord, I never thought you could use me in the ways you've used me. But God, it's all because of you and all glory to you. Lord, there's been times you could have used me greater, but Lord, I resisted. So Lord, forgive me. God, if there be one here today that does not know Jesus Christ, their Savior, Lord, here in just a moment when the music begins to play, Lord, would you give them the courage to come down and accept the greatest gift that has been ever offered to this world, a free gift that they just had to receive through faith. Lord, maybe for that one that's dealing with a call in their life, Lord, maybe just surrendering their life to serve here in their local church. Lord, maybe that one that's going through the hard time, God, that we would see through the life of Paul that your grace truly is sufficient. Bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to...
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.